find in the book of Zechariah, in chapter 8, still in chapter 8, we stop at verse 17 last Thursday. Now, 3, 17, 18, and 19, just to give us background there before we go on. 17, 18, and 19. Start with verse 17. And let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor, and love no false oath, for all these are things that I hate, said the Lord. And the word of the Lord of hosts came unto me, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, and the fast of the fifth, the fast of the seventh, the fast of the tenth, shall be to the house of Judah joy and gladness, and cheerful peace. Therefore love the truth and peace. I remember we stopped at verse number 7. Imagining of evil, the minds imagining evil, but it says also in your hearts. So it starts with the mind, goes into the hearts, as you remember. That's his neighbor. No false oath, the Lord hates these things. What do you say about the Lord? So who's the author, by the way, of this book? And what is his stance? Who does this author go with? Two other authors.
The writer of this book is Zechariah.
Yeah.
Post Exilic.
Post Exilic. After the exile, what exile was it again?
Babylon.
From Babylon, the exile from Babylon. And so he's writing to Judah and Benjamin, the tribes of the south that have come back from 70 years of captivity. Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call, give us an email, tell us you're listening, and if you have some questions or comments, please get them to us. Then in verse 18, what was the source of Zechariah's preaching?
The word
of the Lord. It's a very good source. Do all preachers and pastors today follow the word of the Lord?
No.
Why do they not?
Because they want to inject their own philosophy and their own interpretation.
Should they follow the words of the Lord? Sure. Preachers and pastors? Yes.
Yeah.
Sure. But why do you suppose it is, not only because they're about their own ideas, but any other reasons why they just don't want to talk about the words of the Lord?
Well, I think a lot of times what they do is they try to raise money for their ministry. And I mean, a lot of times instead of going by the word of the Lord, they think in terms, is this going to be marketable?
And
is this going to get people to
buy? Yeah.
Okay.
You got something?
Well,
they may not
think that the people want to hear the word of God, which may not be true.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps then prepare the
ground
in the people's heart.
Mm-hmm.
But pray for them ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are lost themselves. They go to seminary, they're not teaching properly, so they're not getting this proper teaching, and then they in turn are either they just don't know or they're deceived.
Mm-hmm.
They're deceived by the enemy.
Why do unsaved preachers become preachers, you think? What's their motive?
Gives them a living.
Gives them a living. Maybe help people, just in a general way.
Yeah.
But should they be preachers if they don't believe the word of God?
No.
They should not be. They should be not in. They should go bricklayers or carpenters or nothing wrong with these other things, but not preachers if they don't believe God's word. But the source, the word of the Lord, is yes, go.
Anyone who questions whether or not they're true believers just needs to ask, do I believe everything in the Bible? If God that made this whole universe, he is not capable of lying or saying anything less than 100% truth.
Mm-hmm.
If he can create a universe which is so perfect in itself, his word is even better.
That's right.
And if a preacher does not believe that Adam and Eve were the first two people, that there was a worldwide flood, he shouldn't be preaching the Bible.
Well, sure. Does the word of the Lord always please everybody that listens to it?
No.
No, it doesn't please us even. It gets on our own sins. We don't like it. But that's what the word of the Lord was the basis of Zechariah's ministry. And in verse 19, it talks about a number of feasts. How many feasts are listed here? Fourth month?
Two.
Fifth? Seventh? Tenth. Four feasts. What does God say? And this is looking forward to the millennial reign of Christ, but also a near fulfillment. What does he say is going to happen? What should these feasts be to the Jew?
Joy and gladness.
Joy and peace. Therefore, love the truth and peace, joy and gladness, so be joy and gladness, and then cheerful peace, therefore, so shall love truth and peace. Now, how do you have joy and gladness? Questions at bftbc.org, 856-2619, give us a call or give us an email if you care. What is the source of joy and gladness today?
It is Christ.
The Lord Jesus Christ. What is
knowing
Him. Knowing Him, that's right, and the Holy Spirit of God. One of the fruit of the Spirit is joy, love, joy, peace, and the Holy Spirit of God can give joy and gladness. It says, Thou hast put gladness in my heart. And that's in the Psalm of it. And cheerful peace. And therefore, these two things to love, how do you go about truth? What is mentioned in the New Testament about truth? Several verses. What are some of the verses that mention truth in the New Testament?
Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth.
The way, the truth, and the life. And ye shall know
the truth
shall make you free. And who asked the question, what is truth?
And who
said that?
Pilate.
Why did he say that?
He didn't know.
Who is he talking to? The Lord Jesus Christ. He just was asking, the Lord Jesus was the truth, and he asked, what is truth? And where is truth found?
In His Word.
In the Word of God. Any other word? The proper.
The original word.
The original Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek word, that's right, and good excellent translation of those original Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, except in the English language, the King James Bible. Accurate translations, proper foundation. Yeah, Dan?
2 John, verse 2, the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever.
Good, that's another verse for the truth's sake, that dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. And so the truth is found in the words of God, the proper scriptures, the proper way. How many untruths, many others, but specific doctrinal untruths, are found in the modern English versions? How many doctrines? So over 300, 356 factor Mormon is specified. Untruths. And so when you deal with those particular versions, whether it's English Revised Version, Revised Standard, New American Standard, New International, or the New International, all these things have faults in these 356 places of the New Testament all. Anna?
This is from the southern part of the Prairie State. Washington is the land of Lincoln.
Name it, the southern part.
Many denominations do the foot washing also. Foot washing is a good ecumenical tool. And you are clean, but not all. John 13:10 refers to Judas, who was unregenerated. He that is washed needeth not say to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. John 13:10 refers to the fact of the believer's guilt. Meaning daily cleansing for the department of sin, 1 John 1:9,
in Him for us. Very good. Thank you, Charles. That's very important. This foot washing, Roman Catholic Church, I didn't realize, it's Monday, Thursday, Holy Thursday.
Monday, Thursday.
They wash the feet, and of course, Bonnie, you said something about the false religions wash feet. Where there's a
Muslim
wash feet. Foot washing is not one of our ordinances, and we just are not needful to do that. And so thank you, Charles, for that.
We're not supposed to.
Three things must be before an ordinance. Number one, the Lord Jesus had to practice and use it, and He did. Foot washing. The apostles had to do it, and they may have done that, but it also must be commanded in the epistles before it's an ordinance. And the Roman Catholic Church, do they have lots of ordinances?
Yes.
Lots more than just the two. Sacraments, they call them, instead of ordinances. And what are some of the sacraments that they have, which are unbiblical as well?
Penance
is a sacrament, that's unbiblical.
First communion
is a sacrament, unbiblical. The call of First
Communion. Confirmation
is unbiblical.
holy matrimony.
Holy matrimony. What would it say?
Holy matrimony.
The lifetime matrimony. Not the same as a sacrament.
Holy orders.
Holy orders. Like the nuns and the priests and the...
Extreme unction.
Extreme unction. The last rites. Yeah. All these different sacraments they add into the Word of God. Why should we wring our hands and praise foot washing as an ordinance or anything else, see? As we said last Sunday afternoon, we talked about the widows washing the saints' feet. That was what they did as a custom, as a command, 30 feet, as a command in the house. They wash the feet as a command. That's what we do. But we have socks and shoes. You don't need to wash feet. And you only do that when you take your bath or shower every day, if you bathe every day, as some people do, like we do, but some don't. Yeah, Bill.
These extra ordinances, isn't that an expression of unbelief?
Maybe, possibly. Certainly, these Roman Catholics, they're extra sacraments. I'm sure with unbelief.
We know that God's Word is perfect.
Yes, it is.
And if He wanted us to do that, He would have given us
specific things
to do it, yes.
That's right. Yes, so Tammy.
In John 13, verses 14 and 15, it says, if I then, your royal master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. But I have given you an example that you should do what I have done to you. And I think that was the question on Sunday about that, if she has washed the saints' feet.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me it's referring to serving in a humble way,
yes.
not necessarily washing feet, because obviously we can't apply that today to washing feet and related to hospitality. I didn't see the connection with hospitality. It seemed as though that was something different about humble service or.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I don't know. This time I was looking at it. I don't know if that's right.
That's interesting. Common questions at the FTDC.org, 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment. And come on, Bonnie.
During that time period, it was custom and a form of hospitality to wash the feet of whoever came to your
door. Mm-hmm. Did the Lord Jesus ever object?
It was a custom and it was hospitality.
Hospitality, and
if you didn't do that, because
the Lord said that when He walked into the Pharisee's house, my feet with oil by this fountain of life. They're like the trees of the King James Version. My feet with oil by this fountain of life. Yes, sir.
The foot washing, the best I can figure out, was not something we did. Maybe they did it at the temple, I don't know, but it was mostly in the homes and because their feet were all dirty from dirt, from fecal matter that was on the street and everything, and they just washed the feet in the homes.
Did the priests of the Old Testament have cleanliness in mind? So how did they get their washing?
What did they do? Did they wash their feet and
the
labor just their hands again?
Not sure their hands and their feet have funeral, but they had a laver, which is a washing place. Where was that place from the door of the tabernacle onto you? Where was that place, that laver?
Beginning. I can't remember what was washed then. I can't remember.
And you remember where the laver was?
Well, I know where the laver was.
Where was it?
It was right in the beginning.
Before the entrance to the
after the altar,
the brazen altar. The brazen altar, and then the labor, or the labor of the brazen altar, which was first?
I think the labor was after the brazen altar.
The altar was first. The brazen altar was pointed to the door.
Right.
And the door was so east. Actually, the west, it would come to be the brazen altar first.
First, and the labor second. So that was for washing, wasn't it?
Where does it talk about that?
That's in Exodus chapter...
Exodus
24, 25, one and there. I think it talks about the articles of the furniture.
Say it again.
Exodus 25, 24, one and there. The brush from memory. I have probably remember that. But cleanliness, but truth, love the truth, including all different things, all different doctrines, and then love peace. Why would you define peace?
Most of us don't want peace.
Most of us love peace, but it's hard to find peace.
Hard to find. Where do you find...
Everyone wants to be upset and hurt and...
Well,
doesn't everyone love peace? Doesn't everyone want to have peace in their life?
Yeah.
Isn't that what the world is searching for?
Yes, they don't have anything. They get a lot of war with that.
The Bible has actually referenced to great peace have they which love the law, nothing shall offend them.
Psalm 119, that's right.
We have to have an idea of the lovingly law of God that will give us peace.
Give us peace?
If that I was saying, we have people that are looking for peace, looking for an answer, they find it in the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Another place where people can find it. They look all over the place where they come to the Word of God until they encounter the script, the truth of Scripture, they will not be able to find peace.
Alright, Anna.
With prayer and thanksgiving, your pastor, Wade, Mrs. Wade, all who are present in person and to everyone listening to the internet, it is hard to believe that only 1 week ago I was sitting with you at Bible for Today Baptist Church. A friend of mine told me how refreshed and vibrant I look after such a relaxing time with you. Thanks to all for your prayers, kind words, and emails. You truly are a very precious church family, and you will never know the joy I have in praying for you, even though we are many miles apart. It is a great comfort to know that we hold each other up in prayer, in the living and true God who hears our prayers. But verily God has heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Psalm 66:19-20. Pastor Wade and Dan, thank you for faithfully preaching and teaching the words of God. As the Lord Jesus Christ is exalted, magnified, and glorified, God bless all of you with joy and gladness in the Lord Jesus Christ and reign royal.
Well, thank you, and we appreciate that greeting from Canada. Regard to peace, for Christian believers, or for unsaved people, how can they get peace? Spiritual peace. Is that available? How do you get it?
The Lord Jesus Christ.
Is there any verse on that as far as... It's something like justification, therefore being justified by faith, we have what?
Peace
with God. Lord Jesus Christ. So you see, justified by faith, we have peace with God. And then in Philippians, it says, may the peace of God fill your hearts. What's the difference between peace with God and the peace of God? Peace with God refers to what?
Our standing before God.
Standing before God. Lost people can't have peace with God, but through Christ, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, genuine faith, they can have peace with God. What's the peace of God? The peace of God dwell with us. What would that be?
The Holy Spirit dwelling within us.
The Holy Spirit dwelling and producing the fruits of peace, to the peace of God, and one of the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. The third one is faith. And so, love, truth, and love, peace. Let's read verse 20, 21, 22, in fact, 23 also. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall yet come to pass that there shall come people, the inhabitants of many cities, the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord, and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem, and to pray before the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass, the 10 men shall take hold of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the spirit of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, but we have heard that God is with you. This talks about the millennial reign of Christ, the things that are happening there in the future. Verse number 20, come to pass that there shall come people and inhabitants of many cities. When will they come? According to verse number 21 and 22.
To Jerusalem.
What are they coming for now, or what are they trying to come for now to Jerusalem?
Pray.
Here to pray, but now What do the Muslims want to do to Jerusalem? Destroy?
No,
want
to get rid of it.
They want to get rid of it, to destroy it. But here, the millennium reign of Christ, where he's looking forward, Zechariah is prophetically, and many nations, many cities, verse number 21, the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying what? What do you want to say to the cities and the nations?
Let us kill them.
To kill?
To pray
before the Lord, and to seek the Lord of hope. In other words, they wanted to go in fellowship with the things of the Lord. Questions at bfdbc.org or 856-2619-018, give us a call, or email.
Yes.
Oh, sure,
yeah. Don't get some news that you'll see a lot of times around Jerusalem, someone's Tel Aviv, you'll see there'll be Muslims going over there, and a lot of them will blow themselves up.
Yes, that's the one recently, explodes a weapon. The temple situation.
And they believe that they're doing that, they believe they're going to heaven for that.
Yes, that's what they're taking their thought, isn't it? They go to heaven and have some seven virgins or somewhere other, to which is all false, of course. But they're going to speak to the new one, we're finding out, these nations.
To pray.
To seek the Lord of hosts. That's going to be a wonderful time in the millennial reign of Christ. Nations like Russia, communist Russia, atheist Russia, places like China and Saudi Arabia and all the Muslim nations and Libya and all these other things. All these nations will go to Jerusalem to pray speedily before the Lord goes. And this man said, I will go also. And then in verse 22, are just a few people going up to Jerusalem?
Many.
Are they just tiny little nations?
Strong nations.
Strong nations. Who would that strong nations include in it? Who is competing with the United States of America for military strength and might right today?
Competing.
Getting stronger and stronger.
China.
Especially with Navy now, too. Navy ships and submarines and arms and torpedoes and all kinds of things. Of course, Russia, of course, and these other people, they're trying to get strong nations to come.
But the president says we have to make friends with them.
Yes, he tries to apologize and bow to Saudi Arabia's prince and scrape. That's not what presidents should do. But they're coming not to kill, but to do what in verse 21? To pray and what else? Seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. In other words, here there's going to be an interest in coming to the Lord God of heaven and earth, the Lord of hosts and his son, I'm sure. Then verse 23.
Before we go on, isn't there somewhere in the scripture that says that in the last days that God is going to draw his people back to the nation of Israel?
Yes, that's true.
Okay,
that
would be included in this.
Oh, yes. That's right. They will want to go back to the land. That says in the book of Ezekiel and other places, and they will return and they'll be united. The 10 tribes and the 2 tribes, not divided kingdom, but united kingdom. And other nations, godless nations, you wouldn't think it would be possible. But this is prophetic, this is a picture, as it says very clearly, of the millennial reign of Christ. Nations will go to Jerusalem, the center of all the earth, the power of the earth, and to pray.
Praise the Lord.
Yes. And then, what's going to happen in verse 23 during this millennial reign of Christ on earth is already? It's come to pass what? What's going to happen? 10 men take hold of all the languages in this. Now, what are the languages that might come to Jerusalem?
Russian.
What other languages might come?
English.
What else? Chinese, Japanese, Swahili, Afrikaans, all sorts of languages of the world. Korean, all these different things coming.
What about Polish?
Not Polish, absolutely. Polish will come. And again, in those days, the 10 minutes they call out all the languages of the nations, they go to the spirit of him that is a Jew. Why? What do they say? Why do they want to come to the Jews? Do they love the Jews now?
Yeah.
Does our president love the Jews?
No.
He despises them. See, many people in our country, they hate the Jews. They want to cut them off. Want to make alliances with the Muslims and with Jerusalem, the Palestinians. But here, the millennial reign of Christ is going to take hold of the spirit of the Jew and say what? What did they get? Am I killing you?
No.
I'm dragging them in that kind of
sea? Because they know God is with
them. Because we have heard that God is with you. that's a tremendous thing that, as a testimony, is that. Do people know if we're saved and born again that God is with us? Because they will.
If we show them Christ,
you know,
means we show them love.
What does the Hebrew word Emmanuel mean? Emmanuel, God with us. Emmanuel. Emmanuel is with, how is that? With us. Emmanuel, and then U is the, new is the us. Emmanuel is with, new is us. Emmanuel, and then all is that? Emmanuel. God with us. And the Lord Jesus Christ was called Emmanuel, was he not? God with us. They wanted, they heard that God is with you. When people hear that God is with us, they don't love the Lord, what are they going to do? Probably flee from us. They don't want anything to do with us. They don't know that God is with us. They don't.
The world hates the Jews because they are God's chosen people. The people who hate the Jews are led by Satan.
Yes, they are. What does that tell us to do in the scriptures? Pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
We also have to remember, too, that there's been a lot of anti-Semitism throughout all of church history. And shame on whoever does that, because if you read your scripture, you would have a role for Israel.
Yes.
You're not the other way around, but there has been anti-Semitism throughout all of church history.
Yes.
And we need to repent if we have this.
God's upset with the Jews that they don't, that they deny Jesus.
Yes. He's upset with those that deny the Lord Jesus.
And a lot of them do, though. But there's more and more that are coming around.
Yes, but certainly Hitler and Nazism and communism and the Russians killing off, slaughtering Jews, both those groups, MS and also Nazis, terrible. And we should pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and that's just what we ought to do. Are the Jews in Jerusalem now always doing that which is right?
Yeah.
No, they're not, see? But still, God has got them in the land, and we feel that some people that are British Israelites don't believe that these are proper Jews. They believe that the white Anglo-Saxon people are the Jews of the Ten Tribes, and we believe that's radical. We believe those Jews are there, the nation of Israel that God is preserving.
Amen.
He's led them back as a 1948 bill.
Even throughout the centuries, even though the Jews are basically not religious right now, they have kept their traditions, which help them keep their identity.
Mm-hmm.
So the Jews that we know as Jews truly are Jews.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Keep the rites, the Passover rites, the Seder, and all these other things, where the monikers are. Hanukkah, what do you call it? Hanukkah. Yeah, we're going to stop right here and pick up Lord willing, chapter 9, beginning next week. Do you have any other comments or questions?
This week is Passover for the Jews.
This week is Passover for the Jews, that's right. And 1 Corinthians 5:7 says what? Christ, our Passover, is sacrifice for us. He is our Passover sacrifice for us. And he died, did he not? On the Passover season of the Passover time as the Passover lamb, the Paschal lamb. We might commemorate Exodus chapter 12, Passover lamb that freed the Israelites. Any other comments or questions?
You went to Israel. You went to Israel. Did you see them? You went to Jerusalem. Did you see them praying by the wall?
Yes, we saw them praying by the wall. The men on one side, and on the other side.
Right.
And out there, bowing their heads, putting little prayer requests in the wall. And they told us, like I told us, the requests were, may Messiah come fast. I don't know what was on there, but that's what the company said. Thank the Messiah, because he's already come in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're still looking, these are Orthodox Jews, looking for the Messiah.
And they were still waiting for the Messiah to come, and if you ever say anything about Jesus Christ, they get irritated.
Any other comments or questions before we close? And then let's close.
So I will keep them in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on me. And that's probably why sometimes in my own life I don't have peace, because I'm not thinking about the Lord. You get caught up, like the scripture says, and everything chokes up.
Yes. And the last part of that verse is good too. Vowel keeping and perfect peace through my understanding, because he trusteth in thee. That's an important trust. It keeps our mind. Any other comments or questions before we close? Let us close then. The word of prayer. Father, we do thank thee for the peace that passes understanding. Thank you for the peace that God has given us if we're saved and born again genuinely. Guide us and direct us as families who are here in our church tonight, those listening by other means. May our lives seek to please thee, and may people looking upon us individually and our church as well, be able to see God is with us. And we are with God in what we do, what we say, and what we think. We pray in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. All right, thank you for coming.